I'm not sure if I've ever seen a more dramatic finish to a playoff event on the PGA Tour, and I mean ever. Hi, and welcome back into the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka, here with Jay Randolph Jr. You probably know him a little better as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. And Jay, before we get started, I want to acknowledge the passing of a dear friend by the name of Mike Joyce from the Joyce family. Mike's story, Jay, is almost hard to believe. He worked 25 years as the head professional at Huntington Golf Club on Long Island. At the end of 25 years, he retires, tries to qualify for then the Senior Tour, does qualify, ends up winning an event on the Champions Tour after retiring as a club pro. He passed away this past week. He's a member of the Met Golfers Hall of Fame, along with his brother Tom and his brother Bob. Mike was a good guy, and he was good for the game of golf. Just wanted to mention that. All right, Jay, let's get to the BMW Championship. Got to ask you your initial reaction.
Well, it was tremendous. I mean, to have two of the game's best players right there the week before the Tour Championship battling with a strong leaderboard on a golf course that a lot of young people didn't get. What's going on here? Why aren't these guys 20 under? You and I finally got a little remembrance of what we used to know last week with the players struggling in 15 footers for par. I thought it was, I think when you look back since we started in Fort Worth and the fact that they have been able to do this virtually untouched as it relates to the virus. Yes, initially there were some positive tests and some worry, but they played through it. And I think when you look at this season and the spotlight from Fort Worth to last week in Chicago, the golf that we have seen has been remarkable, and it really was capped off last week, as I said, with two of the game's best players.
In case there's a golfer out there that has missed it, Jay, and I would find that hard to believe, the scenario that unfolded before our eyes was Dustin Johnson comes to the 72nd hole. He's faced with a downhill, side hill putt on lightning fast greens. I think it was around 33 feet, I'm not sure, but it finds the bottom of the cup. It was an incredible putt. And what does that do? That forces a playoff between John Rahm and Dustin Johnson. And then what unfolds on that first playoff hole was incredible. John Rahm has 62 feet for his birdie. Dustin Johnson has 42 feet for his birdie. And I've been dying to ask you this question, Mr. Randolph. John Rahm in that position certainly had to plug in his process of preparation that, hey, I got to guard against three putting here because 42 feet away, Dustin Johnson's not going to have a great chance at making that putt. I certainly don't want to leave myself a very difficult putt and maybe three putt and lose it that way. Do you buy into that or you do not?
No, I don't think you could sit there from 62 feet and say to yourself, I'm making this. I think your thought process has to be, I'm going to hit as good a putt as I can, but I want to get it into a 3 to 5 foot circle, you know, if not closer. So I don't necessarily put the heat on him, but he knows I'm making my fours in the bag. There was a lot going on there. And, you know, we've talked about Rahm from day one since you and I've been doing the show and his progression and the fact that he is now able to put some of the negatives that happen on the golf course behind him and not let it affect him while he's out there. I mean, a lot. How do you answer when you're sitting there hitting flop wedges thinking you've won the golf tournament. DJ's got a, you know, a putt that you don't make. You don't make that putt to force a playoff. So all of a sudden, Rahm is going from hoisting the tournament to back onto the golf course. And, I mean, you know, similar to what Colin Morikawa did against JT, John Rahm pulls it off.
And I have to give credit where credit's due. John Rahm, I believe he still was in college. There was a lot of chatter about him coming out. And you were the first golf broadcaster anywhere that started to tout the ability of John Rahm. You educated me to the fact that this guy is something special. There's something different about him. There's a little bit of Seve in him. You were high on Rahm right from the get, and boy, what he's demonstrating right now, you were on the money, Mr. Randolph.
I mean, I watched some of his golf swings, and in a day and age where guys do everything they can to get the ball out there 350 or whatever, he's got a lot of speed in his swing, but it's not a very long backswing. And he's so pure right now. And because his swing is not that long and he doesn't have that high an arc, it limits the problems that can occur with back, with position at the top, with getting the club too far behind you. He just looks, when he sets up to the golf ball and they show behind him and he takes his swing, it's just magical right now. And, I mean, he certainly is the favorite going into Wingfoot, and I think he's been the favorite for a while, to be honest with you, depending on what the weather conditions are and what the difference is in the golf course and all that stuff, for November at Augusta. I just had a sense that this guy was a little step above. His playing ability was beyond his years. Could he get that mental aspect, and could he control his emotions, which we know so many Spaniards before him, Serge, Olazabal, and clearly Seve, have had to deal with and had to overcome?
Yeah, and in case anybody has any doubts about whether a short backswing is effective, Jay and I have been around long enough to have witnessed Doug Sanders win 20 times on the PGA Tour, and they always joke that he could swing a golf club in a phone booth. And I agree wholeheartedly with you, Jay. You know, that short backswing keeps you in great control and puts the club exactly where you want it to be on its downward arc to the ball.
Well, and the amazing thing for a lot of us, and I think a lot of the people watching, is how do you generate the type of power without taking the club back so far? He's got such strong legs and strong arms. I'll never forget Trevino telling me one time on the range at Williamsburg, Virginia, at the Golden Horseshoe. He said, son, there are a lot of ways to take it back and take it through. He said, you got to be in the right position in that 1 foot area, the hitting area, you know, 12 inches behind it, 12 inches in front of it, and right on it. You know, you can skin a cat a lot of different ways. And we've seen a lot of back swings and through swings. But the key for Rahm is he's in that hitting position and he's locked and loaded at impact.
Yeah, and those powerful legs remind me so much of Jack Nicklaus in his prime. That's where he developed all of his power. Why don't we give a listen to what John Rahm had to say following that spectacular victory at the BMW Championship?
I mean, the way I played today was so solid. I only missed two fairways in the 18 holes, hitting mostly drivers. Only missed actually one green on 19 holes that I played today. Gave myself plenty of chances. Never really stressed for pars. So much fun. It was just a lot of joy on the golf course today for me. Not only because I played really good, but that's kind of what I set out to do, right? It's a difficult course. You have to play really good. People were playing good early, so I knew you could, you know, we could get some birdies in, and had a lot of fun doing it. And that's probably the reason why everything turned out the way it did. Stayed aggressive because I was feeling comfortable with the driver, and it paid off.
You know, he's a pretty nice guy too, Jay, on top of everything else.
Yeah, he's a good dude, and he's becoming a superstar. I mean, he is a superstar, but he seems to be handling it very well. I saw a Twitter video of him playing catch. And when I mean catch, I mean football catch, throwing the football with his bride, and she's got a gun on her. I mean, they're out there throwing the football, these two, out in Phoenix a couple of weeks ago. John Rahm's got a lot of positives happening for him. And you look at what he did the final round right before Memorial when he played well. And then he played well at the final round at the Deutsche Bank to lead into this BMW championship. I think just about everybody and their brother had him in DraftKings. I know I did. My fifth straight week cashing in DraftKings. Now, I'm not retiring by any means, but it's nice to cash and rather than not cash. And John Rahm, after a week where we kind of, you know, saw DJ destroy the TPC Boston and Norton Mass, John Rahm and the field had to come play a different type of golf course. And when Rahm said it, I only missed two fairways and I hit 18 of 19 greens. This is at Olympia Fields. This isn't at Joe's Muni. I mean, this is strong.
Yeah, it really is strong. And if you want any indication of the confidence that John Rahm plays with, just consider his choice for Eternal Bliss in the girl that he married. She was an outstanding javelin thrower at ASU. Now, if a guy marries a lady that can throw a javelin very well, that's confidence.
You know they can do some damage if they can throw the javelin, that's for sure.
All right, let's give a listen, Jay, to what Dustin Johnson had to say. Boy, you got to give him a lot of credit. That's 2 weeks in a row that we were watching Dustin Johnson in full bloom.
You know, golf course is hard. You know, you're gonna make, you know, if you get out of position, it's really easy to make a bogey, and that's what I did on 8 and 10. But other than that, I thought I played really solid all day long, and you know, shot a good score. You know, 67 around here is a pretty solid number. You know, got into the playoff, but obviously, you know, John held that really nice putt to beat me. Obviously, the goal was to be number one going into East Lake, and you know, I am still number one. So it's I like my position. I feel like the game's in really good form right now. You know, I'm really, really pleased with all aspects of the game. So I'm really looking forward to next week and a chance to win the FedEx Cup.
Well, Dustin has some high standards. When a guy makes a 62-footer and it's referred to as a nice putt, I mean, golly, what do you got to do to be labeled a great putt?
I guess he's looking forward to it. I mean, he owned Boston. He almost wins in Chicago, and he's in great form. I mean, again, the difference in the two golf courses, it's hard to even describe the way the two played. I mean, obviously with Dustin going 30 down the week before, but yet he's able to perform on a U.S. Open style golf course. I mean, these two guys right now, and we're going to talk about others as we collide at the Tour Championship and then beyond at the U.S. Open at Wingfoot in a couple of weeks. I mean, you know, DJ looks just tremendous. Since a couple of hiccups earlier, a couple of months ago or 6 weeks ago, he's been back on just brilliant form and doing it, you know, wherever they are, whether it's easy in Boston or hard in Chicago. When the bell is tolled, he's ready to go.
Well, not everybody ate filet mignon at the event. Certainly Tiger was munching down on some hamburger sliders, finished tied for 51st, and this is what he had to say regarding his play.
Didn't play as well as I wanted to the first couple of days. Today was nice. I hit the ball really well and made only a couple putts, but more indicative how I want to play, you know, in a couple of weeks. Just missing the ball in the wrong spots, you know, here and there. I certainly haven't putted as well as I'd like. And, you know, with the scores as being as low as they have been, I just haven't been able to shoot the low scores like I needed to. This golf course was basically a U.S. Open, with the rough being as high as it is and fairways a little bit narrow. Look at the scores, and I don't think that we've seen, you know, scores like this in a non-major in a very long time. So this was a great ramp up for me for the U.S. Open. I wish I was playing next week, but I got a couple weeks off.
Okay, DraftKings Dominator, your thoughts on Tiger Woods for the remainder of the year?
This may actually be a good thing that he is getting this week off. Everything now, and you heard him say, is now focused on the major championships. His focus has been on getting ready for the U.S. Open since they announced that the U.S. Open would be in September. Then it will be to be ready for the Masters in Augusta. You know, he's okay. You know, it's hard to believe that neither he or Phil will be at the Tour Championship and that we are kind of seeing the phasing out, if you will, of those two players. But it won't surprise me if he's ready to rock and roll at Wingfoot and put on a show and try and be part of the mix. But, you know, each event is its own entity for this guy as he tries to prepare for what's next for him in terms of the bigs. And the next biggest one is the U.S. Open. And I think this may be a hidden blessing that he's not playing this week.
Well, it's worth a mention also, Phil Mickelson, getting tired of not winning, jumped onto the Champions Tour as soon as he was eligible. First time out, comes away with a victory. So Phil trying to build up his confidence for Wingfoot. Don't forget, 6 second place finishes in the U.S. Open. Phil still looking to complete that career Grand Slam, becoming the 6th player in golf history ever to win all 4 majors. I certainly hope Phil gives himself a chance coming into that 4th and final round on Sunday.
It'd be awesome to see some of the best players in the world, see Phil in the mix and maybe Tiger in the mix on Saturday night going into Sunday at historic Wingfoot. Before we turn our attention to the official PGA Tour season-ending tournament, the Tour Championship, let's let you listen to a little bit about a fantastic golf course I'll tell you about in Madison, Illinois, and then just a remarkable spot, one of the best spots in the world, the Kapalua Villas of Maui. Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses, spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number 3, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates, are online at gatewaynational.com. An added perk, if you live here in the St. Louis area, you purchase the season pass. Walters Golf Management manages 8 other properties, and you'll get playing privileges at those golf courses. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com.
The Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. We thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator, freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
welcome back, and thanks for being a part of In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. We appreciate your company each and every week. Well, there's a lot happening this week at East Lake Golf Club.
It sure is, Bob. It's the 20th playing of the Tour Championship. Before we get to it, we want to remind people they can find us on social media. On Twitter, I'm STL Golf Geek, and Bob is Bob Bubka, VOG, that VOG appropriately for Voice of Golf. And for the second consecutive season, they're going with the weighted FedEx Cup starting strokes, if you will, and we'll explain that to you in a moment. A single champion will be the big winner. Play us with the lowest score in relation to 72 holes combined with his FedEx Cup strokes, like we saw last year, we saw Rory do, will be the champion. Now, for the first time in the FedEx Cup era, the top three in the FedEx Cup standings in the Tour Championship are also, get this, top three in the world. And Bob, that restart and that stroke situation, as you heard Dustin Johnson say, he wanted to be number one going in, and he is, and that means he starts at 10 under par or a two-stroke lead over John Rahm, who's number two. Then you go down to Justin Thomas, who starts the golf tournament at 7 under. Webb Simpson, who decided not to play last week and corral those kids, he's at 6 under, 4 back of Dustin Johnson. Morikawa, our reigning PGA Championship winner, is in the 5th slot at 5 under. And then they break it up where the 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 are at 4 under. And then everybody else kind of has progressed back. 11 through 15 is 3 strokes, is at minus 3, 7 back. Then you've got 16 through 20 at 2 under, 8 back. And then you get back to the players that are 9 back, 21 through 25, and then 26 through 30. Billy Ho, the 30th player, getting in just at the end, knocking out my boy Adam Long. They all start at level par, 10 behind DJ. Do you like this? I think they got lucky last year with Rory being 3 back or being in the 3rd position in the Tour Championship, not only winning the aggregate tournament, but also then winning the FedEx Cup last year.
Well, to be perfectly honest, Jay, last year I was beating a rather loud drum that I didn't like it. I just couldn't imagine. I was thinking, at your club championship, they say, well, you're the best player, so we're going to start you 2 shots in the lead. When you grow up having it the reverse way, the best players have to give the other players some strokes to keep it even. But in all honesty, after the first round, it melds in perfectly, and I kind of like the scoring system now. So I jump from one wagon to the other wagon. Hopefully it'll be as successful as it was last year. It was some creative thinking to come up with this, and I give the tour a heck of a lot of credit. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there was a lot of thinking that had to go into making this scoring system work. By the way, Jay, 12 international players qualified for the Tour Championship, and they're from 11 different countries outside the United States. I mean, it's really a worldwide event.
This is a global tour. There is no question about that. And Bob, of the 8 rookies that qualified for the PGA Tour playoffs, only 2 made it to the Tour Championship. Scottie Scheffler, who's been golfing his ball bananas, and young Vic Hovland comes in at 27.
Yeah, those 2 rookies, pretty solid. And hey, 8 rookies qualifying for the playoffs, pretty impressive. 9 first-timers are going to be playing here. Cameron Champ, Lanto Griffin, who continues to impress. Tyrrell Hatton from England. Hovland, you already mentioned his name. How about Mackenzie Hughes? He had to make that 5-footer on the last hole at Olympia Fields to get down to East Lake. He stands over that putt and just rolls it in like he was putting into the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I mentioned Adam Long, Billy Horschel knocking him out. It really wasn't Billy Ho that knocked out Adam Long. It was the par up and down from the bunker that Mackenzie Hughes made that knocked my man Adam Long out and put Billy in the number 30 spot. A big move. I mean, just what a huge round, a Sunday round for Mackenzie Hughes in Chicago. There's no doubt about it. And Bob, I mentioned earlier that, you know, with all the negativity that has surrounded COVID-19 and the way in which we all got, you know, a little cautious and a little fearful the first couple of weeks when they announced that some players had tested positive and we were a little unsure. I mean, this organization, the PGA Tour, Bob, has done a better job than the country, a better job than baseball. I think it's hard to compare the hockey and the basketball because of the bubble situation. Pretty impressive stuff. I don't mind beating up on the tour once in a while or looking for something to complain about. This one, across the board, they've done a tremendous job with the COVID testing and the COVID positives.
I'm right there with you on this one. Jay Monahan and his outstanding crew down at Ponte Vedra, they bucked a lot of odds, but, you know, they've made it happen. We're going to have a couple of more majors. What could have been a complete disaster of a golf season is going to be a pretty good one.
Bob, as you well know, each year at the Tour Championship, Jay Monahan steps to the mic to give the quote-unquote state of the PGA Tour. And we're going to hear a little bit of that from the commissioner, where I'm sure he'll also address how well they've done through the COVID battle.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hard to believe it was 174 days ago on March 12th when we were forced to cancel the Players' Championship due to the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. As gut-wrenching as that day and the weeks to follow were, as we ultimately canceled or postponed nearly 30% of our season, the adaptability, innovation, and collaboration that has brought us to this week is incredibly gratifying. It's humbling to think about what has been accomplished with our successful return. As invited guests in each market, we stated at the outset that the health and well-being of all associated with our tournaments would be the number one priority as we return to competition. At the Charles Schwab Challenge, we said we did not have all the answers. We would have to adjust as necessary as we continue to take guidance from the CDC and medical experts. We also made a promise to be transparent with our health and safety plans, including our testing program. It hasn't been perfect, and we're not claiming victory by any stretch. In fact, we continue to learn and adapt. But I'm so proud of the team we put into place in March to help solve this giant jigsaw puzzle. I'm also proud of our player membership for adapting quickly and successfully following the protocols. They have been vigilant personally, but also have looked out for each other and each other's families and the communities in which we play. They've understood and been a big part of the changes we needed to make along the way as we've learned and adapted to this crisis. We will continue our adaptive work through the fall and into 2021 as we look toward reintroducing pro-ams, corporate partner activations, and spectators when we feel it is safe to do so. These will be critical as we look to maximize tournaments' charitable contributions going forward. Given that golf lends itself naturally to social distancing, recreational play has seen a surge in recent months. As one of the few professional sports competing earlier this summer, I'm certain our tournaments and our players played a role in inspiring participation during the last few months, and we look forward to building on all this momentum as we head into the end of the year and into 2021.
That's Commissioner Monahan with the state of the PGA Tour and some more changes, Bob, because of the COVID situation. And I think the American players are excited about these two announcements. The Zozo Championship, which Tiger won last year overseas in Japan, has now been moved to Sherwood. Sherwood Country Club in Thousand Oaks, which, of course, was for a long time the host of Tiger's World Challenge. That will be October 24th through 27th. The week before, the CJ Cup, which was at Nine Bridges in South Korea, has moved to Las Vegas, Nevada. But note, especially some of you golf geeks out there that have probably done this and had the chance to do it, they are going to play Shadow Creek. This is not TPC Summerlin. This is Shadow Creek, known as the fantastic golf course in Vegas, or the place you had to play, or Steve Wynn's paradise, or whatever it may be. Big news that they're going to Shadow Creek.
Yeah, it really is. But when I hear the name Sherwood, if I don't bring up my Sherwood story, everybody would be disappointed. I remember being on the first tee for the first time and standing there with one of the members, and he said to me, you see that beautiful house up there to the left, right on the edge of the cliff? And I said, yeah. He said, well, that belongs to Vince Scully. I said, wow, Vince got a pretty nice house. The guy said, don't get that excited. You see that house right next to Vince Scully's house? I said, yeah, it's a little bit bigger, a little bit nicer. The member said, yeah, that belongs to the leading porn star in L.A. So every day Vince Kelly goes home, he drives by the house of a leading porn star. I wonder if Vince ever said, maybe I chose the wrong profession. No, Vince, you did not. Trust me, you did the right one.
Vincenzo did just fine. That's for sure. One of the great broadcasters of all time, Vin Scully. Well, the tour is at it again. We are now up to four official betting is what they are. Now FanDuel is in the mix with DraftKings and Golf Bet and Prop Bet and Your Mom Bets and Everybody Bets. I mean, I've never seen such a quick opening up of the gates, if you will, at the PGA Tour to let in a facet of the game that is growing. And probably you need to give a little credit. I need to give a little credit to the tour for being wise enough to say this thing is coming. We can't really stop it. Either we stay on the sidelines or we get involved. And by getting involved, they're going to fill their coffers. It's coming, folks. If you're already not playing on any of the various apps or outlets for gambling, it's going to be readily available for you.
Well, you heard Jay say it's coming. That's not the only thing that's coming. For the last few months, let's be honest, we've really been talking quite a bit about Rory McIlroy, and doesn't seem, you know, up to full snuff, and couldn't put a finger on it. Well, Rory McIlroy and his lovely wife, Erica, are expecting their first child. Matter of fact, could be any day now. A little baby girl going to be born into the McIlroy family. Rory says if it happens, he's going to WD from whatever event he's in. He said, and I certainly admire him for this, Jay, he said he's going to play in a lot of golf tournaments in his life, hopefully so, but he said he's only going to have one first child. So congratulations in advance out to the McIlroy family. We wish you the very, very best.